The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And we are very happy to be here. It's the Friday of the 24th of October, 2025. 16 minutes past the hour of 6. And this is your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia. And it's time that we discuss about the global, continental, and national affairs, and also to look at what is really happening in the Namibian economy. What are some of the discussion? What is the main conversation? And what is the contribution, especially on this ground? You know, we always like starting with a short motivation to say the fact that you are awake, the fact that you can listen to Eagle FM Namibia, you need to make sure that you wake up and also do what you can do best, because, you know, sometimes you underestimating yourself, but you do not know how many people want to be like you. You may think that you are suffering, but at this economic situation, at this point in time, you might be, underestimating your intelligence, underestimating your capacity, and it's actually an insult to that who gave you that talent, but you have self-doubt. So make sure that you are awake while you are sleeping. Others are already 2 hours ahead of you. Others are already not only thinking, but they are practically moving toward what they want. So as long as you can listen to my voice, as long as you can listen, push until, you get what you want. Because whatever you see around was created in the mind of an individual before it was presented out there. So what is happening? What is happening, particularly at the global front? Where are we starting? Let us look at Ivory Coast. Let us look at Ivory Coast. It was stated that the former first lady of Ivory Coast, that is Simeone Gbagbo, held a campaign rally this Wednesday, and also focus on mobilizing women, and also Simeone Gbagbo is bidding for the presidency of Ivory Coast, and on that ground, and you must be able to remember that this former first lady of Ivory Coast, and her husband at one point was a president, that is Laurent Gbagbo. And at this point in time, a candidate in 2025 presidential election, Simeone Gbagbo is counting on mobilizing women, youth, and also to support, her political project. It's not the first time that former first ladies, they are putting their bid, in the ring. They are putting their heads in the rings. Especially when it comes to making sure that they also take presidential position. It's not first time. It also happened in Zimbabwe when the former first lady, Grace Mugabe, at one point also showed her ambitions, especially to put her heads in the ring. And also to make sure that when it's coming to politics, when you are closer to power, and with what you see around, and also political influence and also experience, they are bidding. And also it's very important to look at this news. It's quite very interesting, especially when it's coming to Africa, because women in Africa, they are taking up a stand, especially when it comes to politics. You know, when you look in the United States, even the former, former Secretary of State, and also at one point, former First Lady of United States of America, Hillary Clinton, also tried, especially competing with Donald Trump when he won his first term, And I'll be able to see that it's not a new thing where former first ladies, also show their interest, especially when it's coming to the political arena. It's an issue of gender equality. There is also an issue of, going against, the odds and also see what you can do. Let us see. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if, Ivory Coast make history. Don't be surprised, but let us look at this news and, move, ahead, especially, when it comes to the politics of, Ivory Coast or Côte d'Ivoire. Yeah.
In Yopougon, one of Abidjan's most vibrant neighborhoods, the former First Lady of Ivory Coast, Simone Ehivet Bagbo, led a dynamic women's rally under the blazing sun. Hundreds of women, proudly wearing the colors of the Generations Capable Movement, gathered to hear her speak about the crucial role of women in politics. The various meetings in the interior of the country and in Abidjan have generated real enthusiasm among the population. She was warmly welcomed, hence today's gathering with the women. Everywhere she went, her message was heard and listened to attentively. The reception was warm, and there was no problem overall. A prominent candidate for the 2025 presidential election, Simone Bagbo, is now calling on women and youth to rally behind her political vision. The movement's national women's coordinator, Odette Stiemele, put it powerfully. But it was David who defeated Goliath. We know it was a little ant that brought down the elephant. We know that Dr. Simone Ehivet Bagbo is capable of. With her, we are not just here to be present. We are here to win. Ivorians are thirsty for this victory, and we are tired of mourning deaths at the end of the crisis. This time, peaceful change is with Simone Ehivet Bagbo, and we call on the people of Ivory Coast to join us at the polls to bring her to power. Simone Bagbo does not intend to play a secondary role in the 2025 presidential election here in Ivory Coast. The former First Lady, addressing the women of her political party in Yopougon, reaffirmed her commitment to winning the elections, maybe not in the first round, but she hopes to force incumbent President Alassane Ouattara into a second round and defeat him. And why not? In any case, these women are fully committed to supporting her to final victory and hope she will become the first female president of the Republic.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's very interesting. The politics of Ivory Coast, where the former first lady is putting her heads in the ring, especially against Alassane Ouattara. And what you need to understand is also that you also need to look at the history, because Simone Bagbo is the former first lady. Her husband, that is Kodu Laurent Bagbo, led Ivory Coast from 2000 until his arrest in 2011. And he was the first president in history of the country that was he was the center left, was a leftist in terms of you know, his politics. But you know, he was outset, and also the person who defeated you know, the husband of Simone Bagbo, still leading. And is it the legacy of the family, or is the politics turning around? It's quite very interesting to see. And if happened, history will be rewritten, where you will have a former first lady becoming a president, and also, you know, you also have a former president who become the first gentleman. It will be vice versa. And we are very interested to see what history will be like, particularly in the Ivory Coast arena. Is it running in the family, or is it, you know, revenge politics, or is it politics of priority, and also politics of, you know, solving, you know, the problems of the people of Ivory Coast? And it's quite very interesting. It's politics of Africa. It's politics of Africa, and everybody has a right, no matter where you are coming from, to practically participate in the politics, especially if you have met the requirements. And not only that you met the requirements, but you also have, you know, ability, capacity to lead, the people. And, on that note, that is, exactly, what is happening, especially at that part of, Ivory Coast. Yeah, moving forward, it's quite, also interesting. It's quite interesting also to look at this news, especially looking at Sudan. It was stated that current situation in Sudan. I know it was the other day the Secretary General of United Nations stated that Sudan is the worst humanitarian crisis in history. The worst humanitarian crisis in history, especially the impact of war and the impact of hunger, displacement, and agencies of United Nations are on the ground. You know, why the world will focus on Gaza? People are dying of hunger. People are dying of hunger and diseases in Africa. Some go unrecorded while we are focusing on Gaza, which I'm not saying is not an issue. But Africa have been with problems for quite a long time. But looking at this news, it was stated that the recent visit by humanitarian official from UNICEF to Sudan reiterated the depth of country humanitarian crisis as brutal war flares on. And it was stated that around 14 million children in need of humanitarian assistance. That is in Sudan. It's quite the worst situation, especially when the big men of politics are fighting, when the big men of politics are fighting each other, particularly centered on resources. It's the grass which suffer, especially when elephants are fighting. And let us look at this news and move forward.
These Sudanese children are finally studying and drawing again. Although fighting in Sudan's civil war has lessened in intensity in recent months, the population and in particular children are still affected by the conflict.
2.5 years into the war, Sudan is still facing a catastrophic humanitarian situation. More than half of the population is in need of humanitarian assistance, including 14 million children. 10 million Sudanese are displaced internally. 4 million have fled to neighboring countries. A staggering 1.4 million children live in hotspots that where famine has either been declared or that are at risk of famine. 4 out of 5 children is out of school.
One of the most urgent issues remains access to food. Many Sudanese families face acute food insecurity, and children are malnourished.
Every single Sudanese child has been impacted by violence and is psychologically affected. And yet, in the midst of all this, for the last 2 days, I've been able to go back to the greater Khartoum area and see children and their families returning to their homes. See a water system that's providing 80% of the water needs of Omdurman right next to Khartoum.
At least in the area of Khartoum, the children are once again playing as they were before the war.
Yeah, that is what is happening, especially in Sudan. You'll be able to see that 14 million children are in need of humanitarian assistance. Look at that population. It's a population which is 4 times the population of Namibia. But in that ground, it's just children. What about adults? And also my concern, and whenever I look at international news, whenever I read especially the case studies of development studies, is Africa only a ground for frontierism? Is it only a ground for research? Is Africa only a ground for case studies of West case scenarios? Because when you look at what they study, when you look at those who, scholars in the UK and also in the United States of America, when they are doing their thesis on development studies, on international development, there is always this case study, and you're asking yourself, why are the international institutions are always here, but these problems are not going away? It's the problems of hunger, it's problems of climate impact, problems of war. And you are also wondering to say, I am yet to see, there are not more than 5 or more than 4 companies which are manufacturing weapons in Africa. But how do these weapons get into this, you know, in this land? How come a terrorist group has not only an AK-47, but the night vision glasses, bulletproofs, and also technical know-how, which are using satellites to locate and put governments under pressure? Is it really this initiative, Africans, or somebody is pushing the cars from outside? Because now the Sudan is a worst case scenario. It's a worst case, you know, case study, but not only Sudan, but also other countries. We are also in a crisis at home, although we are not seeing it, but we just did not reach that point. But the question is always to say, how are the Africans going to move forward? How can we focus on dealing with our own problems and also solve them internally rather than using the barrel of a gun? Because Sudan, in one of the richest countries, particularly in terms of mineral resources. In fact, there is no poor country in Africa looking at what is beneath that, either in terms of minerals, even, the wildlife. But the question has always been to say, for how long are we going to be like this? And at what point, at what juncture, Africans going to find and also realize that enough is enough. We are standing on our own. And we can be able to solve our own issue. On that note, before we come to essay at an ad hoc committee, and I understand that I was proven wrong, especially when it comes to the ad hoc committee. In essay, one of the person advised me to say, no, it's too early to judge, especially when the first 2 days of the minister of police, when he was testifying, I thought he was so, bold enough. But somebody advised me to say, no, it's too early to judge. But looking at when days are going, it start to crack, and a lot of things are being revealed. And just yesterday, another former minister of police, Bekitsele, just came and throwing everybody under the bus and bringing out the truth out there. It's quite interesting. To look at the ad hoc committee of South African Parliament and also Mlanga Commission and understand what is going on there, because you know sometimes what you see is not what is there, and we are yet to see things coming out, and you know it's quite interesting, especially looking at accountability techniques which are being put there by Parliament of South Africa, and also see what is the future looking like, and looking at how things are happening in South Africa. When the president traveled out of the country, in most cases you leave somebody with authority to take care of the country, and in this juncture is in most cases the vice president. But seeing for the past 2 weeks when, you know, Cyril Ramaphosa is traveling, expecting, and a lot of people expected, you know, the VP the deputy president, to be the one who is given that, responsibility. But, this juncture, It's the Minister of Finance, Godogwana, who is left with the post of the acting president. And the other time, it was also the Minister of Defense. You are just observing and also see what is going on with Paul Mashatile. And it's also the decision of the president to appoint anybody, especially within the line of that constitution, to be the acting president, why in absentia. The other news, not so good news, especially happening in Tunisia, is that, 40 people, including an infant, died when a boat carrying migrants seeking to reach Europe sank on Wednesday at the coast of Tunisia, according to local judicial authorities. Around 30 others were rescued. And, when you look at the statistics, how many people, especially immigrants, died in the sea, either it's Mediterranean Sea, either they are dying in the desert traveling to the Middle East or traveling to Europe. You'll be surprised to see, every year millions of people leaving Africa. And the question is that, are they going to find solutions outside Africa, or they are just going to become, victims of, human trafficking, and also gonna be used as cheap laborers? Why African sons and daughters leaving the continent and dying in the sea when they are given freedom that they were fighting for? Why are we not happy being here? Why are we taking a lot of selfies when we are outside Africa? Why are we not happy being here? What is the problem with us African people? Is it that we are not happy at home? Is it looking for better opportunities? Is it poverty? Is it hunger? Or what? Stated it's 40 migrants. And in most cases, these people were traveling in boats. In most cases, these are what is called illegal migrants, especially those who want to use sneaky routes to get either in Europe or in the Middle East. And it's a question of asking to say, for how long the situation is going to be like this. And even you, who is thinking of leaving Namibia or thinking of leaving your country, ask yourself these questions to say, what can you do to make sure that you make home better? And also, are you leaving the country to look for a better opportunity or to get knowledge so that you can build your continent, or you are just leaving because you are tired of, finding greener pastures here? But are these people really going to find better than what they are living at home? And why are we leaving the continent with huge resources? Why other people are running and coming and investing in us? Why is it vice versa? You know, investors are running toward Africa, while African citizens, especially ordinary African citizens, are running out of the continent. The question is why? But let us look at this news and move forward before we come to the main conversation for today. Let us look at this news, especially regarding people who died, migrants who are dying, especially leaving the continent. Let us look at this news, and this also include the infant, this very small baby, who also perished in that sector, in that incident.
Tunisia naval units that arrived on the Seine rescue put other migrants on board the boat, which sank off the Mediterranean port of Maidia in central Tunisia. Maidia Corps spokesman Walid Charbi said, those aboard were from sub-Saharan Africa. Without providing further details, the prosecutor's office has ordered an investigation to determine the causes and circumstances of the sinking. Charbi said Maidia is Tunisia's second biggest port of call for departures of boats carrying people from Tunisia and elsewhere in Africa, as well as Asia, seeking to reach Europe. Tunisian security forces have ramped up efforts to prevent migrants from reaching or crossing the sea, a journey that can be deadly.
Yeah. That is what is happening, especially there in Tunisia, and also looking at the records, and also asking to say how many people lost their lives, especially how many migrants lost their lives leaving Africa, either it's through the desert, going to the Middle East, or either is through, journey, especially dangerous journey of using boats. And remember, these boats are overcrowded. Speak about 40 people. At one point, there were 100 people who died also, sank, because of, situation in the sea. But, let's go to a short commercial break, then we can, continue with the conversation.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Lipurane ngeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune uto otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe faa omarude dayo loka okwene ushendi fenawa nukumuna oijamwiri nawa ninge kwata fano na monika ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeli, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are moving. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop, and we are looking at the situation of illegal immigrants, which dying in the sea, especially leaving Africa, and looking at the records, especially when you look at the numbers of people, especially illegal immigrants which are entering Europe. The records of 2023, because it's also very difficult to identify, stated that around 1 million illegal immigrants enter Europe in 2023. And also, when you look at what International Organization for Migration is indicating, is that between 2021 and also 2022, it stated that in 2021, around 270,000 movements were recorded in the Eastern Road. And when you speak about the Eastern Road, those are the people who are leaving Africa through the Horn of Africa to the Gulf of Aden to Yemen, which they enter the Middle East. And it's also around 20,000 East African migrants arrive in Yemen alone, and there is always an increase in terms of people leaving Africa. And why are we losing our sons of the soil and daughters of the soil? What is happening? What are the pushing factors? Is it war? Is it hunger? Is it greener pastures? Is it the impression of finding a better life? Because in most cases, some of these people who are leaving Africa, they end up doing jobs that are not even can be explained on air. They end up doing the unthinkables. Ladies end up doing the unthinkables. And these are the things that people do not speak about. And some of them end up becoming victim of human trafficking. And some of them end up, not even able to come back, at home. That's why when you look at the records of Ministry of International Relations, especially this year, some people were rescued, especially who were assisted to come back home from the Middle East there. And people, are just looking at people taking selfies and pictures. We don't really know what is happening there. Because in this world, there is actually nothing for free. and what is given for free is very dangerous, because nobody, and it's not how life works. You need to work for something, and at the end of the day, if you are not careful enough, you may end up doing the unthinkable, just because you think, when you look at what other people are doing, you may think it's easier, but economy is tough everywhere. We just need to make sure that we push, and also making sure that, you know, we find solutions at home other than looking for solutions somewhere outside. So it's a conversation. It's a conversation. Before we come to what we have on the table today, you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401. 083-288-401. And it's a matter of asking a question to say, what are the pushing factors, and when are we going to see a stop? Because remember, people who are leaving Africa are not just ordinary people. These are the people with, in most cases, could be people also with creative mind, people who did not make it within their country, or people who tried, you know, all their best at home, but things end up, you know, not doing well, or things end up, you know, not well. But yeah, let us also try and see and find solutions, not only discussions, but find solutions to our problem. And in the short time, we are also going to look at when you speak about you know, migration, you must not only speak about pushing factors, you must also speak about pulling factors and this pulling factor union. But yeah, while we are there, let us look at UNAM Alumni Association elective, you know, annual general meeting. Stated that, did you know the University of Namibia Alumni Association will host its elective annual general meeting on Wednesday, the 5th of November 2025 at 17:30. And the meeting will be held visually, allowing alumni to join from all corners of the world. All UNAM alumni are invited to be part of its important occasion as we reflect on achievements, discuss key motions, and elect a new executive committee. The annual general meeting link will be shared closer to the date, and all reports will be available on the UNAM website. Don't miss this opportunity to connect and shape the alumni legacy. So look at that content. Especially UNAM graduates. Make sure that you participate in UNAM alumni, you know, association, because that is the only way you can get time to network, because that is where all the UNAM graduates meet. And with this note of the annual general meeting, it's very important to go there and also participate. Maybe you become part of the executives and you make decisions, because there is value in alumni association. There is value in alumni meeting, because, you know, at this point, this is where you meet all the graduates, and some people made it in life, and you being part of the alumni, you can also get an opportunity to network, and also being taught, you know, what are some of the opportunities which are there, and what can you do best? Because when you speak about the alumni of UNAM, and there is no industry without that alumni. Find them in cabinet, you find them in parliament, you find them in private sector, NGO, everywhere. But with this note, make sure that you take these notes serious and partake in that. So yeah, Do not forget, the Villager newspaper, for today is out, like we are always indicating you, every Monday, every Wednesday, and, every Friday, where we are updating you on what is, happening around Namibia, in the region, and also in the continent of Africa and the world, especially when it's coming to trade, economics, and, governance. So, let's go to a short commercial break, then from there, we'll discuss about what is the future of Namibia looking like, and what are some of the expected outcomes of public-private sector forum, which is an ongoing engagement where you have the president of the country who dedicated 2 days to speak with public and also private sector industrial leaders. That's why I indicated to say all your mentors, all the people who we are looking up to, or majority of the people we are looking up to, either is from politics, private sector, creative industry, you can name it. All the industrial heavyweights are here. And like yesterday, they're here in Windhoek. That is your academic professor. Not an ordinary professor. I speak about emeritus professors. Either is your expert in theology. Everybody, if not all, are here. But the aim is only one, to see what can we do? How can we reach Vision 2030? What is the best possible outcomes of this engagement? And also the fact that the president remove authority and come down to the people and say, do not be scared of me. Don't make me happy. I'm not here to be pleased by anybody. I want you to bring out your best, because we have to build this country together. And every speaker indicated that let us not this be a talk show. But you may be also interested, especially when you look at country united by a common agenda. Then you're also able to see direction, to say no matter the ideologies, no matter the political beliefs, if we are all faced with hunger, it's affecting all our kids. If we are all faced with unemployment, it's affecting all our kids in ourselves. If it's affecting all, if we are faced by insecurity, it's affecting all our kids. And that's why industrial leaders are here, and they are discussing about issues that, in line with, reaching Vision 2030, and, the creation of 500,000 jobs is on the table, to say what can we possibly do, to make sure that, we assist in that sector. And also the issue of investment is on the table, to say, is it international investment, domestic investment, what can be discussed? Every possible thing. And, that's why today I want, especially dear listeners, when you speak out here, people are listening. Give your view, give your input, give your suggestion, and also what you expect from both sides. Because those who are making policies, those who have power to make laws are there. Those who have power also to amend the laws, and also those who have power to administer, implement, revise, and also to move industries forward. And just to ask one question, to say, how can we possibly move forward? And I'm going to a short commercial break. Then we'll listen to part of the conversation, especially today. We are going to look at the speech of the head of Namibia Investment and Promotion. Namibia Investment Promotion and Development Board, that is Dr. Nangula Wanja, who is the Chief Executive Officer, and to speak and also listen to what she has to say. And some of these statistics are going to shock you, and also to see what can you possibly do as a country, as one, and also to ask a difficult question, to say what tough decisions need to be made. Because for us to reach Vision 2030, we have tried early 2000 when it was stated. But for us to reach Vision 2030, somebody somehow will be offended. And ask yourself this question: who will be offended by the unity of Namibian people toward a common vision? And what drastic measures need to be taken? Because the top authority is there. To say, me, I'm just waiting from you. Let us discuss this issue. The power is here. Let us solve the Namibian economic problem. And let's look forward. Ask yourself that question. And also, maybe to think also to say, maybe this is the way forward where people realize that talking have been a wasting of time. Because if you look, for example, the United States of America, if you look at the history of the United States of America, how they stand where they are. And then when you go back, you realize that the United States of America was also colonized by Britain. And they say, no, guys, let us unite. Let us come together and put all these states together and defeat our colonizers and stand on our own. You look at the Japan, how they revive themselves. Look at China. They say, let us think not only 20 years, but 100 years. So, people debated, especially look at the civilization of UK. If you, and people don't speak about this, but when you read history, you realize that most of the genocide or most of the brutal killings happen in the history of civilization. Did not even happen here in Africa. People were fighting there. Parliament fighting the king fighting the church, until people come to the table and say, guys, let us, let us sit and let us build our civilization. Maybe it's a point where we are now, as Namibia, to say at that point, to say, at this juncture, let's debate, let us conversate, but let us coming up with practical solutions, because people don't, the operation of things, people do not need to like each other. But if we are all in the process of economic development, we don't need to have same political ideology, but if the problem faces us, we all have to come together and say, no man, I think for the sake of Namibia, let us be here. I have seen opposition, leaders there. I've seen musicians. There is nobody who I did not see. I'm not saying everybody was there, but most of the people were there. Industrial leaders, but the heads. If you have somebody, and I understand, most of you did not see your CEOs yesterday. They were there. If you have seen, you did not see your deputy board chairperson. They were there. But yeah, you can engage us at 083-288-401-083-288-401. You can come back. I just want your opinion and your view to say this conversation, between, those who make sure that the environment is conducive and those who, create the jobs. What would be your opinion and your input? Especially, looking at that conversation. It could be that when you pointed out, or when you give your input, it could be that, it will be listened to. It could be that, you may be the only one who is, missing in terms of giving your opinion, and, Namibian's problem will be solved. So, good morning.
Morning, Mr. David Sombe. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Good.
Mm.
So you mentioned to say our expectation from that forum. Mm. Forum?
Yeah, it's a forum.
Good. So, and you said you are giving an example, the Zambra leadership there, that the commitment for that, how the president dedicated her time, her energy. And I heard it from also the director.
Hold on,
okay.
Großartige Neuigkeiten. Imba ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben ganz neue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von Imba freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia Dollar pro Monat oder spare noch mehr mit unserem speziellen Abonnement-Plan. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
Yes.
Yes, what I was saying is that I think I was also trying to narrate a story of one of the executive director.
Yeah.
Ministry of Gender, and then they had a very important meeting on mental health.
Yeah.
So, but she was in the office and saying, no, I have to get connected to the what is going on in the parliament. Whatever is going, you know, the executive directors are now, they are also tuned in.
Okay.
Many a times, and then she has to attend this other meeting down there that is also important. She dedicated at least a few minutes there, you know.
Yeah.
So it is very important that that forum bring out really strong and effective coordination for resources and their energy. So that at least we can now see, and now the president has sat there and is sitting there. I think she's still sitting. You are saying so, isn't it?
Come again?
So I thought you said she has been there for almost the whole day or those.
Yeah, she has been there, dedicated the whole day, and even today she's there. She said, I don't want half work.
Yes, she mentioned, I was listening to that.
Yeah,
she said, she doesn't want half work.
Yeah.
We are expecting her to do this, come and open the things, and off she goes.
Mm.
She's not of that type of leadership. I was just mentioning about the example of leadership that we need to, that we are inspired with. Right? So that we can also amplify and knowledge to do things.
Mm.
So now the other thing is that, you see, the people who are now migrating to do things, and they, I think they are also, they are trying to serve out, to bring out some strategies to minimize and at least just to stop the migration of the people who are dying in those things.
Come again?
I mean those people who are dying in the sea.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, the perception and the belief also is that yes, there are good opportunities.
Yeah.
But we are also told that there are also opportunities in those countries. They are saying, you, Africa has got so much to offer to the world.
Yeah.
In terms of resources, because of the manpower, the population that we have. If we can really strongly bargain, seriously. And also to make sure that, because those people are being, you know, the pull factors and push and pull factor that you are talking about, those are the ones that they are discussing, I think, in this forum.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that the social.
Now, if you get an opportunity to advise anybody, no, and not only the president, anybody who is there, because they are given an opportunity to speak out of their mind, as long as they are solving Namibian problems. Right. I know we have a lot of problems in Namibia, but just two things that you think they are very critical from your view. Just two.
Yeah, I think it's just to harness their efforts, their energy, their resources, and make sure that they really bring out some of this community development projects that can really, and also reform and repeal some of the policies or the laws that are not responsive to the interests and the needs of our people. If they can harmonize some of these things and consolidate their efforts properly, and then really see whether there is some kind of bureaucratic system that is really hindering the implementation, the execution of the project.
But you know what? I did not get my answer yet because it's too diplomatic and a bit broad. I just want two things that you want to change. You want to change something in agriculture. You want to change something in land, or do you want to change something in economy? I just want two things from you.
Very much two things from me. So what we can do now, perhaps the thing that can quickly come to my mind is just to make sure that those some of those secondary schools.
Yeah.
Can be converted into technical vocational training or tertiary education or whatever you call them.
Okay,
so that we now have proper trained people that are there, and also to facilitate some of this implementation of this project, because sometimes they just to facilitate those things, how to get access to the funding, make sure that some of those barriers are removed so that things become so easy. And also now to make sure that the people are protected from cyber security attack, the vulnerable population. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We are asking questions to say, what are the key critical things? Because remember, there is also an issue of economizing and resource allocation, because problems are a lot. But if you have to change something in Namibia, what is that you are going to change? Because those who represent us, those who, because those are Namibian's greatest mind. To me, I am saying that Namibian greatest mind are meeting. I'm not saying those who are not there are not great mind, but the greatest mind at one point. And in any history of civilization, Aristotle used to say leaders must be philosopher kings, those who at least have something to show. Those who at least have something to show, those who have been already at the head of industries, those with experience sitting in one room. Because when you look at the history of Greece and UK, people spend time discussing and debating until they get tired. Then they go and sleep and come back to say, how do we build this nation? How do we build this nation? What are some of the laws which are killing our people? What are some of the barriers? But the critical issue, that is number one, is, is coordination and also respect of the private sector and also removal of bureaucracy. There's too much bureaucracy. The time to get an approval of a certain project, the time is too long. There are laws which are delaying people to do things. There are things that we could have gotten within 5 hours or within 20 minutes, but it will take you even 6 months in Namibia. It's bureaucracy and complicated contradictory laws. If you look at, judicial system records, how many times, the government was sued and how many times the government lost cases. Why is it that losing money and you have the government throw, cases that could have been prevented by tightening the laws or making sure that there are no loopholes? And also the issues of, the issues of mining. If people say, it's mining and energy, let us renegotiate. Let us prioritize domestic investors. And also, let us put on a threshold to say this is the limit. And also, the other thing also is energy, to say energy must be prioritized. What are we doing about it? If we are speaking about we want Namibia to be industrialized, and we are seeing Eskom is making profit even for the first time, because remember, the more you are buying, because the more you have demand, the more other person is making more money from you. And you are not buying at the same rate. Price changes. But if you say, I'm building a nuclear reactor, I'm building a nuclear plant, even if it's going to take you 20 years, that is a burden that you remove already. And other people will come also to add some form of energy to your grid. But we cannot solve all the problems at the same time. But let us look at the chief executive officers of Namibia Investment and Promotion Board has to say, especially I want you to listen to the part of statistics, then you get it and you understand where we are. And you also be able to understand why, what do I mean when I'm saying it could be that you are the wealthy person, it could be that you are the luckiest person, but you are underestimating yourself compared to the general population of Namibia. There are really people who are going through a lot. And it's only when you see that situation, then you realize to say, I was insulting God when I was, doubting myself, or when I was thinking I was the unlucky one. Look at that records. These are records based on the research and statistics and proper prediction. And you may also be able to relate to this record. So let's listen to what Pemen Angola Wanja has to say, especially from yesterday's conversation.
Always tell people I'm an accountant, so I like to start with data. And starting with data, looking at hunger statistics, they say probably close to 40 Namibians might have gone without a meal last night. About 700,000 might have cried themselves to bed wondering, where is my job coming from? Of those 400, some of them don't see a future because they have finished traveling this country from polar to post, applying for positions, being called for interviews, and then getting the letter saying we regret, and we regret, and we regret. The Namibia Statistics Agency, they say about 380 or so thousand of those that are unemployed have given up looking for jobs. That is why we say that our unemployment, when it is strict, it's about 36%. When it is broad, it's more than 50%. So Her Excellency was saying she is angered by poverty and by unemployment. The good news is we all share that anger. And I have had the pleasure of, over many years, engaging and consulting with public sector, with private sector, and I know we agree on one thing. The economic poverty of this country cannot continue. So, this is happening in a country where we say that, yes, we are a country that is endowed with significant resources. We are a country that has got a number of millionaires compared to other countries on the African continent. We are a continent that is attracting FDI. So we can talk about a lot that is happening. But why is that being enjoyed by a few of us? Why is it not reaching to the person there? And I think that is why we are here today. Because we all agree it is unacceptable. But it's not changing. It is persisting over many years. What is the missing link? We are saying that maybe collaboration between us, some have got resources, others have got ideas, others have got the policy. What do we need to do together to make sure that this situation does not persist? And that is why we are here today. So, if we need to grow this economy, we need to do it in an inclusive manner. We cannot continue growing the economy while we are the second most unequal country in the world. We need to make sure that we deal with inequality. And that is where the data is. So, NAMPPF, I think Her Excellency has said a lot about that one. The journey started in 2021. We are in 2024. There was engagements to 2025, apologies. There have been engagements to make sure that, will this work? Is it another talk show? Who will be there? What will be done? So that is really what the engagements have been all about. To make sure that we are not here talking and talking and more talking, but we are here coming up with solutions. So yes, Cabinet decided last year, September, okay, let us do this. And then there is a committee which I'm privileged to chair that has been then putting the ideas together since March to say, let us come together with purpose in a coordinated manner. How is this different? It's about the structure. It's about the consistency. It's about monitoring and evaluation. And it's about reporting on progress of what we are doing together. Not private sector doing something there, government doing something there, but really all of us pulling in the same direction, like the late Excellency who came up with this idea in 2021 used to say. And that's why we've got that structure that we are seeing there with the MPC as the lead coordinator. We know that the National Planning Commission is the lead.
IMPA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Care that helps you care for others. That's the basic mental health first aid course, free for NHP members. You learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family, or colleagues, and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
As we head to the polls on 26 November 2025 to elect our representatives as regional and local authority councillors, you have to be present to be represented. Your voice can only count if you put it in the ballot box. Get involved. Put your voice in the box.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We are reflecting on what was happening yesterday, especially when it comes to Namibia public-private sector forum. And you also need to understand that it's not only the presenters. So also have to listen to what the audience have to say, especially after various presentations. However, I'm just going to give you short, especially what, you know, the audience have to say, especially in terms of, interaction and also engagement, because I said it's public sector versus, private sector, not, on different side of the story, not on different side of the ring, but, working together, toward the one enemy. And, that enemy is poverty, is unemployment, is, you know, economic injustice. It's also, you know, also, inequality and, also, poor, human, development. And, after a panel discussion, which, you know, contain of various industrial leaders, we have seen, you know, the representative from Ministry of International Relations and Trade, and there's also see a labor expert. However, let us listen to what some of the public, you know, or some of the audience I'll have to say, especially from yesterday conversation.
Multiplier look like for cultural creative?
Thank you. I think for that one, perhaps, are we going to have some input? Or because we've got a dedicated session that's coming up that will be led by Ms. Chuna Daringo in terms of that. So perhaps we can also lay that, Chuna, take note of that as well, then we can give a response. Do you have any takers from the, or would you rather pass it over? Klaus, I see.
Okay, yeah, thank you very much. I'm afraid I don't have the multipliers with me for all the various industries. And the creative industry is... also not a, let's say, stand-alone industry in the national accounts or in the labor force. So therefore, it would be a bit challenging to calculate the multiplier. But definitely, it's a labor-intensive industry. So it will be higher than a multiplier in a capital industry, capital-intensive industry. Thank you.
We've got one more there.
Yes, good morning. Flexman Samuel from the public enterprises sector in Namibia. I would like to put it to the panel as to what do you think is the role of the public enterprises in Namibia, I think, to help attaining the objectives that we are discussing now. Thank you.
Fair question. Let's take two more before we bring it back to the panel. We've got a hand here, so we'll start with that, and then please bring it front to Mr. David Nyoma. Thank you.
Thank you, and good morning. Arinze Okafo, investment professional and founder of NIFA Academy. My question is directed to, I think, Conrad and Mekauna. As private sector, how do we practicalize this national tax incentive so that we can create the actual jobs, especially across internships and graduate programs? What's been the barrier, even though government is saying they're giving us 50,000 for every intern job that we create?
bring it to the front here. Did we have another taker there as well? Okay.
Good morning, Chair. Thank you very much. My name is David Nyoma, Group CEO of Capricorn Group. Not sure whether it's a comment, question. Silos have been mentioned, and to me, it's a very serious one. Perhaps this is directed to the government representative on the panel, my dear sister. There are regulatory silent entities, and they are perhaps the most potent in effecting or not effecting progress in terms of business operation. Will it perhaps be helpful for some research to be made, and they cut across all sectors, be it housing, be it health, be it agriculture, you can name it all. A research to be made as to what are the regulatory powers of this and what impact do they have on what we are talking about, in other words, ease of doing business in Namibia. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll take one more contribution on this end before we bring it back to the podium.
Good morning. My name is Doreen Setia-Vintuk. I have a quick question. Have we defined as a forum what decent and sustainable job, what that would look like? Also, we need to consider, are we considering underemployment as well, or is it just complete unemployment? Thank you.
Thank you very much. We've got Kadisha. Can you bring the microphone on this end for the IG as well, so that he can make his contribution? IG, please introduce yourself as well. I'm not sure whether everybody knows in the room who you are.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Let me stand on the protocol. Indeed, I have a question. I've been listening to the presenters, and there's nothing that has been said about the safety and security of our republic. Because that issue, security and the economy, is interrelated. What is the status of safety? Because I think that one is also very important to come out. So that at the end of the day, that people that are responsible for security, we have also a takeaway to go with. Thank you.
100%. Thank you very much. Bring it back to the floor.
Thank you.
We'll start with Mr. Dempsey and then the platform.
It's quite a few questions. So I think if we had to go and just allocate them into the panel. And please, we did not get your question 100% right, please let us know. And also... to the panel, we're a little bit tight on time on the answers. I think maybe if we start with the one on the tax incentive on internships, and how do we practicalize some of that. Kana, I don't know if you've got some specific views on it, and then I'm happy to fill in as well.
I'll follow you.
Okay.
Okay, let me start. I think on the tax incentive, it's really a call on us, and maybe the chamber.
Yeah, just give you a tip off, especially on difficult questions which were asked, but again, you can also follow up and on the conversation. However, I also give you again, what are some of the prominent people have to ask, especially in terms of critical questions, because what is necessary is the question which was asked, and for people to discuss and also find that solution. You have listened to questions. You've listened to group CEO of Capricorn. You've listened to the IG of Namibian Police. You've listened to Mr. Fruxman, the CEO of Roderick's Waterfront. And as I told you, the most difficult job is on protocols to see who should be observed. And you also need to listen to these questions. The former First Lady was also there. It was commenting on the discussion, especially from the aspect of agriculture. And it's quite very important to listen to those conversation, especially on the questions part, because conversation is deep, is still going on, and try to find solutions to Namibian problems.
I'm going to be very first, and I'm not speaking as the...
...to thrive, and we need to enhance patrolling and to prevent illegal...
More than important, of course, please stand your name and institution, because we have viewers that are watching at home. Do we have any takers? Okay, let's start here in front. Now, I said 30 seconds only, and then the first person to put up their hand is the former First Lady. So what am I supposed to do now?
I'm going to be very first, and I'm not speaking as the former First Lady. I'm speaking as the chairperson of the largest private equity fund and the chairperson of the largest non-profit run in Namibia. I want to agree with everything that the two of you have said around agriculture, but I just want to caution against saying that agriculture will curb urbanization. Both can be done at the same time, and both are important, because the presentation you did here and what has to be done, I agree with every single point, particularly your points around smart agriculture. But the drivers of urbanization and the need for investments in cities will affect us all. So the macro trend around, the global mega trend around urbanization is not unique to Namibia, particularly from the continent perspective. And I think we make a mistake when we constantly position investment in agriculture as a curb to urbanization. We need to do both.
So with the clapping, we must choose. Are we committing to clap or not? Let's give it there. We've got one more on the other side as well. Okay, you can start and then we'll come on this end. Thank you.
Morning, my name is Albi Buerta. I love the flag, so I have to make that declaration in the beginning. I think the biggest challenge we have is to understand that the closest market we have is South Africa. And how do we export more to South Africa? I think South Africa has figured it out very well to us, but we're struggling. The grape industry's success is South Africa. That's why the Orange River works and the Kuneni doesn't, because it's called 1,500 kilometers. And we've got to understand those logistics as well. So I'd really like agriculture on all our panels to have a better understanding is how do we access our markets to South Africa? We have a serious inferiority complex with South Africa. That we need to address as Namibians. Once we do that, we'll find that logistics, which is a big challenge to the rest of the world, Europe is very, very far. We'll find that there's a lot more. So my challenge to agriculture as well is how do we build this export market to South Africa? I know we do a lot. I think it's part of the success of the agriculture industry, but I think that's a story for every industry today. So how do we access South African markets better?
Thank you very much. Very important contribution there as well. We'll take that one and then we'll come back for the last contribution on this end before we bring him back to the floor and take the last round of questions. Thank you.
My contribution is the syndrome of importing.
Name an organization, sir.
John Khamuzip, governor of Otjojenjuba region. My take is on the import of vegetables and fruit from South Africa. We have a country where we have federal soil and water. Still up to now, 35 years after independence, we are importing fruit and vegetable in this country. We know that some of these places like Kompat, Okahandja, Otavi, Grootfontein are sitting with these commodities that can be used to contribute to the provision of our fruit and vegetables. Yet, because people are working in silos, this cannot be resolved. The skewed distribution of land also contributed to this factor. Last contribution is urban migration cannot be left as it is today. These are the places that are identified as we have got a shortage of 500,000 backlog in houses. While we have at least graduates from vocational training centers that are laying and idling around. Concept of cash forward program for youth that can form bricks and go down to build for us the former Forum Kadudura houses instead of energy houses that are measured on squares.
Thank you.
All those contributing factors can at least keep us out of this equation and quagmire in which we find ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Just a reminder once again, colleagues, one contribution or question. I mentioned again earlier on that everybody in the room is important. I don't want to set a terrible precedent. If somebody makes a second contribution, we'll just cut the microphone on the other end. We don't want to resort to that. We'll take that one, and then this one, last one this side, and then we'll bring it back to the floor before we give another round. Thank you. Go ahead.
May I go?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Flexman Samuel from the public enterprise sector. I would like to put to the panel, given the enormous investment that this country has made in the Neketel Dam, the biggest dam in this country, what is the private sector perspective in terms of what needs to be done to be able to create the results that we are looking at, and also the type of time frame that we need? Because we have always said that we have talked a lot in this country, now we need to deliver. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You can provide and then we'll bring it back to the floor. We don't want to take too many questions at one time. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My name is Leonie Hartmann. I'm the CEO of Avagro. I would like to speak to point 4 that has been raised around regulatory framework and reforms. I've noted it down so I can not brainstorm while I speak. So please allow me to read. If Namibia wants to build a competitive, export-ready agricultural sector, we need a strong and fully functioning plant health framework that supports innovation under Act 36 of 1947. Namibia's competitiveness depends on a strong integrated plant health department that regulates both phytosanitary certification and agricultural inputs. Right now, there is a clear bottleneck. We have no pathway to register biofertilizer, biostimulants, and biological pest control remedies, which are vital for sustainable production and export compliance. My question: when will this act be fully implemented through a modern plant health system that enables the registration of the full range of biological inputs our sector urgently needs? I have a second contribution.
Thank you very much. There won't be no second contribution. Please, don't take chances.
Yeah, that was what's going on. And I'm telling you, the most difficult job yesterday is protocols and also answering questions, and it was very difficult for those who were, you know, panelists, because I told you these are not just Eugene and Joe. These are industrial leaders, and I also want you to listen to other last questions, especially when it's coming to Namibia economic development and what need to be done. So it was a very difficult day, but very important, especially when it's coming to questions of Namibia development and also the future of Namibia, because those who have the future of Namibia, or those who are leaders of our generation, were in the same room, although not all, to discuss about that. So let us look at other rounds of questions, and it's up to you to see these relevant questions, these questions, the one that are going to assist us to move forward. And what do you think is the answer to these questions? Because it's also the question that you need to answer yourself, because it's not only those who are there, and also to see how things were, especially from yesterday. And we also have to go and check, especially today, what will be the outcome of the conversation.
A hand right at the back. Sir, you may go ahead.
Hello. All protocol observed. My name is Peter Haufiku. I am the CEO of Elefila Premium Sports Agency. I just wanted to add on to what my colleague said. It seems like sports is just an afterthought. Like, once we all speak about what we want to speak about, then we say, oh, sports is great. This is something that I really dislike, and something that I've seen as a pattern that has been happening over time. But I want us... Oh, thank you. But I want us to specifically look into professionalizing sports. Yes, we've glazed over what it is that we need to talk about, but I think this is a very, very important aspect to think about. We're thinking about things like broadcasting. Broadcasting is something that brings immense amount of money into sports throughout the world. Another thing that we need to think about is privatizing our Premier Leagues, whether it's football Premier League or rugby. We need to privatize it in order for us as individuals to come in and invest. Because once we do that, there's more transparency. Once the teams are actually the ones that are in charge of where the money goes and when it's coming in and all of that. We need to make sure that we, yes, update our Sports Act, but at the same time, also put it together with the labor law so that we have a minimum wage for our athletes, for our coaches, for our sports infrastructures as well. So please, let's just make sure when we move forward that we make sure that sports is one of the headline topics and that we actually make sure that it is heard. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Haufiku, for that contribution and that reminder that sports is not an add-on. Can I kindly ask that we try and as far as possible to limit our contributions to questions. Remember to stick to 30 minutes in order for us to cover as much ground as possible. Next question.
Good afternoon. My name is Sulaiman Kiababa from the creative industry. Mr. Moderator, I feel you've robbed the CCI the best moment. We needed more time. There's a lot. This sector has been affected, the most affected sector in the country, contributing to the highest suicides in the country. I feel we've not really touched the problems that have affected it. I don't know how we're going to do that, but I feel the time that has been given to it is actually very small. My contribution and question is, as per the Swapo Manifesto, there was a proposal that they'll set up a CCI committee to look into the issues of the CCI. Has that committee been established? If not, when is it to be established?
Thank you, sir. We'll take two more questions before we move to the answers. I see a number of hands. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. My name is Roger Herter, MD MultiChoice Namibia. I've got three short points which will fit into 30 seconds. Okay. Thank you. So piracy, as we want to establish this industry, creative industry, we must be mindful of the fact that piracy is going to be a number one enemy for us, and therefore it requires collective effort. Comma, second point, level the playing field. So as we spoke about regulation and the more regulation to those of us that you can see, you must be mindful of the fact that competition are also coming on from an online point of view. And it's not only something that is happening in the creative industry, but it is something that happens across. A lot of transactions happen in this country through institutions that are not registered, regulated, and paying tax in the country. So we need to take note of that. And then the last point is the people that we are looking at to create jobs for, in terms of research, they operate on a principle which is called instant gratification. So if government does not transform the pay system, especially for frontline staff, to a more commission-based instant gratification pay system, won't we get the type of productivity that we are looking for in order to serve those that are coming from outside? Thank you.
Thank you very much for those comments. Kindly like to ask for the last question.
Thank you very much. I'm Cicely Jacobs, Chairperson of the National Arts Council and Executive Manager of the Namibian Arts Association. I want to address the issue of the question on even stating that these people are employed, particularly in the CCIs. The Namibian creatives are explicitly excluded from the Labor Act of 2007, and therefore from social protection, minimum wage, and minimum basic conditions. There is also the issue of almost earning nothing from traditional means of royalties or even from streaming online or on social media platforms. And this means we need very much quick legal reform because AI is pending and is going to make a lot of work, not just for the CCIs, but our own, redundant. And so we need legal reform in the labor law. How can we fast track the Copyright Act and bill that has been drafted for a few years? And then also funding for BIPA to increase capacity for IP enforcement that is causing royalty disbursements lacking to the artist. We need the private sector to dangle our industries as carrots for advertising on the streaming platform so that they can be monetizing our artists and our local content in Namibia so that we can end those royalties. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. So how can we ensure that we are fast-tracking reform in order to support the creative industries, and how can the private sector come to the table? So I believe there are a number of questions and comments that are directed to the public sector. However, if there are any remarks from our panelists, you're free to go ahead.
I think it's just in relation to Mr. Sula's question in regards to the CCI committee. We've been in touch with MASEC, and they've said that it is in the works. And I think a lot of these other pending issues can also be channeled through that platform because it is a vehicle that's supposed to address all of these issues and hopefully also have a better coherent relationship with government and, unions like the labor unions as such. So I think that, yes, I do agree as well. We were really pressed on times. There were some things that I had to leave out. We respect your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Yobert, any comments from your side?
I think just a last comment from my side, also to a question in terms of the creative industry and a comment that Tuna made. And that is that, we have a small market in terms of Namibian consumption, but for our creatives, if we can get the digital platforms right, they can sell to 7 billion people around the world. And for that, we need the Googles and the Metas of the world to sit up and take notice of us. Our president said we should stop begging, and we should start telling them, why can our young people not monetize on their platforms? It is, it is not fair and it's not acceptable that our creatives can only sell local. They must be allowed to sell to the globe like...
When life gifts you a washing machine that just quit, take control with Express Credit. Borrow up to $32,000. Same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or SMS gift to 32274.
We are moving forward with Ed Morning Scoop. We'll give you the last rounds of questions from yesterday public, private forum. And from there, we'll look at what is in the Villager newspaper. And moving forward.
Our South African colleagues can do.
Thank you very much. I saw that there were still a number of hands. I think we'll take the final two questions before we close the panel. Yes, sir, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Madam Director. My name is David. My surname is Namalenga. I just wanted to comment on what Hayes was saying in relation to how we do good for the foreign companies and how do we do bad for local companies. This is one of the very serious problems. When you raise a concern as a person, as an entity locally, you can be given 12 years to be responded. And if they want to punish you, it's 3 days. So we truly, truly need to discuss this matter, and it's really part of what makes business not to run. And we want to put this on record. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our final question. I see there's this gentleman right in the middle.
Thank you very much. My name is John Walenga. Madam President, a creative mind is like a trained soldier. A soldier, I'm told, if you confine them to the barracks, because they are trained to pull a trigger, the first victim becomes the next soldier. Now, a creative mind, when it's not fully utilized, the only bullet they have is a mic and a pen. We are fortunate so far that creative minds in Namibia have not turned their mics and pen against our government. So, Madam President, you have taken the right decision to make it a priority. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes.
We will now close with the final.
Yeah, you heard yourself. You heard it yourself. That was the conversation. And those were some of the difficult questions that were asked and contribution. And it's up to us to also review to say what will be the outcome of this engagement. If you bring the greatest minds of our land together, where the president is there for 2 days, and you have all the top executives in Namibia, many or majority, if not all, the head of banks, head of private sectors, and also you have former, leaders, politicians, governors, and all the top executives. What will be the outcome of this conversation? Because the important thing is that they've realized, and one of the things that we are all agreeing, and me and you also agreeing, that is Namibia is in a problem, and we cannot get out of this problem alone. And that's why private sector and public sector, they have to work together. And if only those questions which were asked could have been answered immediately, and if only those questions will be answered with practicality, there is no way that Namibia will not find solutions to its problems. There is no way that Namibia will not find solutions to its problems, because what is needed now is the outcome and the practical part of it. Because the interesting thing is that Namibians, we know exactly what we want, and we know where the problem is, but who are given the responsibility to either to change the law or to answer to what is needed? It's quite not there. And this is something that a lot of people have been asking to be done, especially looking at what we have been speaking about, especially looking at what the studies on governance in Africa is saying, to say institutional collaboration have been always the problem of implementing policies, because you are making a policy, you are a lawmaker, and this policy is affecting the private sector, but there is less consultation or there is misunderstanding. How do you think the outcome will be, and who is going to be impacted by that? But if there are clear regulations, if you're operating within the same frequency, there is no way that Namibia will not be an industrialized nation. Because remember, we have most of the things. We just need the right formula so that we can implement with our resources and investment attraction domestically and internationally, and with peace and stability. I don't think there will be problems moving forward if that of which is discussed is addressed, especially when we see all the problems that we have now. On that juncture, You can be able to engage us in the studio at 083-288-401-083-288-401 is 51 minutes past the hour of 7, and you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And, you know, Big Mac will join us, after a few minutes, and, I'll go on, for quite a few times, 10 to 15 minutes there in his period or in his, time frame. But for now, let us look at, the Villager newspaper. But, before the Villager newspaper, let us pick up the caller and also listen to the conversation. Good morning.
Yes, David, how are you?
Good, how are you, sir? Is it raining there? How are you?
I'm alright, man. Yeah, it's just raining.
Window.
We have a sickness, yeah.
how are things going in this Friday?
Yeah. David, when I was listening to the audio you are playing, especially regarding the sports.
Mm.
Yeah, especially when it comes to football, I think this way they are really nobody's paying attention to it, just addressing. Because sometimes when you just retire, after retirement, friend, there's nothing, there's no hope anymore.
Indeed.
Yeah, I'm talking from experience, because some of us, we really find ourselves like just running around. You know, sometimes we have paper from BTC, but it's hard. It's hard to get a job and so on. And I'm telling you, if you look at our players, even those one who even represent the national team. But to get to then you see how they are. I'm telling you, they are like even Marara babies.
That one I can agree. That one I can agree with you.
I'm telling you, it's not a joke. And I don't know why they are not even coming up with this action where they even just. Because I'm telling you, the boxing is. When you see those athletes for boxing, they have been taken care. Some are in the police, some are in defense. With no grade, even. But when it comes to football series, I'm telling you, we are there in the streets.
No, I hear you. Now, what is your contribution? Because it's an ongoing discussion until today. If you were given an opportunity to ask a question there, or just to say three things that need to be done, what are those things?
For my suggestion, it's like also the football player, they need to be given a chance also.
Okay.
When it comes to this recruitment, like a defense and police and prison.
And
again, we need to create a levy. A levy for sports. Going straight to sports, not like this when we are giving a minister of sports $200 million. What is going to be going to do in a different sport for those we are having?
Yeah,
it's a drop in the ocean, seriously.
I hear you.
Yeah, when you are looking at Namibia, do you think it's necessary we have a Katutura where we don't even have a 10th quarter?
That is a very good question to say. Are we not interested in tennis or what?
Yeah, do you want to tell us that our kids cannot play tennis court tennis or what?
Even cricket also.
Or they cannot have cricket also.
What
in
I also want to see people playing rugby at the northern part of Namibia. I want to see that. I think
it's a Mongolian. Somebody come over from Mongolia to represent the national team.
Yeah.
Why is that happening?
I think that is a very important contribution to say. No, why is like only concentrated in some area? Why can't our physical education?
Because already everything is available.
Yeah. But let us expand that to say why our physical education teacher cannot say, no, you are teaching physical education at Nanda there, or deep down Okongo, or wherever, Omsati. But why are you not introducing these things to children to say, no, maybe you are good at rugby.
Exactly.
Maybe you are good at cricket. Why can't we go to that sector? And how are we going to identify even talent?
It's what I'm telling my brother, because the thing is that when you see in South Africa, then you see the majority are represented even in when it comes to national rugby. You can see that there are more black there, but in our country,
even the captain.
Even the captain is a black guy. You see, that's how you keep even the national flag up, like, I mean, like Lineborn Nation or whatever you call them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But seriously, in Namibia, it's mm-hmm. very totally different. You find in your online hockey,
yeah,
it's already white. And they are saying Namibia, and then wondering now, why is this Namibia, the reflection of Namibia, is one of the France team.
I think that is a very important observation. Even when you are looking at swimming codes, it's few.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That's a problem, I think. But seriously, we need to come up with a levy where we have to professionalize foot, sport.
Okay. Thank you, Ne.
We cannot just make it a sport as usual. No. Mm-hmm. People are getting rich because of those, where their talent.
I hear you.
All right, my brother.
Thank you. Yes, that is a contribution from the caller. I indicated to say, there must be sport levy and, also to support, post sport life. Because what we see, especially to our footballers after they leave, and I met one guy. We used to watch this person on TV whose name is not going to be mentioned. We used to play for, a national team. But when I meet him and I'm also talking to him, I couldn't believe it was him until we entered to the conversation. But I asked myself to say, what is the plan in Namibian sport, especially to our people who, most of them, they were doing well. Or most of them, they were, given an opportunity to represent the country, even at the international games. But, what is the game plan there after? Because, one of the speakers at that forum said, let us professionalize football. Let us professionalize sport codes. Because a person cannot, if we professionalize football, you don't need to be a sergeant at night. Then, you are training for boxing, during the day. You will not be committed. In other countries, if you are a professional footballer, that is your job. It becomes a career. But in Namibia, if I have to give you an example of one guy who is now is the champion, he used to drive a taxi. Say, no, I'm coming from the gym, but he's a committed guy. But that's not for everybody to say. Why do you think Namibian boxers, we only beat our neighbors here? We spice them nicely. If we get an opponent from Zimbabwe, Botswana, Ghana, Zambia here, we get to, but if you go to Las Vegas, I want you to tell me one Namibian boxer apart from Paulus the Hitman Moses, Ambunda, Harry Simon. How many Namibian boxers have international titles that they won abroad, especially from United States of America? You go to Las Vegas, you see the real football. I mean, the real game. You go to Chicago there, you go to New York to box. Do you think Namibian boxers are not able to compete internationally? They can compete internationally, but are they given full attention? Is it professionalized to full extent? Because if it's become that, everybody can go there. And also, I did not see this coming to say, why you don't have rugby? And it's not, I don't think it's even in the mind of, maybe it's there. I don't want to think on their behalf. In the mind of those who are prioritizing sport to say, let us, come up with, a rugby, stadium in Opuo, for example. Maybe it's there. Let us come up with a rugby, stadium at, in Omsati, in Hangwena. Or in the Kavango East and West. Let us professionalize cricket or tennis. Because I was also shocked when I came to Windhoek. I thought they are different. Even sport courts, I did not know. I thought everything was tennis, but it's, what do they call it? Squashing or something. There was something, I was also shocked. I thought everything was just tennis. But it's not everything tennis. I realized to say there's a lot of things that people know, but why is this thing not, expanded? You'll be surprised. Maybe the best rugby players will come from Opuo, or the best rugby players will come from Kavango East West, or they'll come from, Zambezi, or they'll come from, Omaheke. But why? Look at Namibia swimmers representing the country outside. Is that really a true reflection of Namibians? Do you think Namibian swimmers will not be, they will not be combined by all races, all people from different regions? Why are we not doing that? Look at some sport codes. They are to be known to say this one is for black, this one is for white, but that is not how things are. But when you look at the countries like South Africa, it's a bit different. But it's a conversation that needs to be expanded. And also to say, if you have everything in the different towns, why can't you also train it? Even rules of rugby go to, and I bet this, go to any part of the country, say, no, what are some of these codes? But let's all look at the short commercial break, then we can come back to the conversation.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Lipurane ngeno wapubwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa.
Yeah, we'll give the mic to Mike in 2 minutes. Especially looking at that text. Yeah, looking at the Villager newspaper just to go through in a short time. There is on top of the Villager newspaper we have Rundu water crisis. And you also have, it's a page on Vervicha application, especially in the faculty of health and science, where you have programs such as certificate in pharmacy, certificate in health science, certificates in health foundation, but due to time, get time and read the Villager newspaper and peruse through, so that you can update yourself on economic affairs. So we are going to give the mic to Big Mike to unpack the day. And from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. And see you around.